Well, I would thank the church for allowing me to be here, but being y'all didn't know I was going to be here, I guess I'll leave that out. First and foremost, I was saved September 15th, 1991. I first started preaching in 2011, but I was called probably 12, 13 years before that. And Brother Ron Dry, it's been close to 2 years since I preached. There's been several things that have kind of happened in my life, and they're not anything great that probably many of you haven't had a whole lot worse things happen in your life. But it started a couple Octobers for me. I had a grandmother. It was my meemaw that, you know, I really thought a lot about her. She was basically the one, as a child, that was my, I guess, my mother figure, you could say. She was always the one that was there for me. And she passed away, so I go to a church, and I sat in the church that I was born in, that I've always been in. And I catch myself looking back to where she sat that. And then I found myself not being happy in the church that I was in. So I understand completely what you mean by you think God wants you to move somewhere else, but it's hard. So my grandmother died in October, and come around Thanksgiving and Christmas, I had to be falling out with my mother and my father. And you know, we ain't really spoken in a couple years. And then so I'm an industrial electrician, and I had a job that come up. It required me to work about 80 hours a week, so I started working on Sundays. And I seen that Sundays is a good time to go to work and try to get away from the problems that I had. It was hard for 2 or 3 weeks, but you know, it kept getting easier and easier to stay young the more and more I was out of church. And then as time began to go on, you know, I got to thinking, you know, I really don't care for God. And then I got to think, well, you know, I'm really not putting myself out there to talk to God. I'm running from God. And then I got to thinking about it a little further. And you know, I also got to thinking about all the stories in the Bible. You know, God sent many people out knowing that there was going to be a lot of bad things to happen, but He continued to send them. So even in the times that you feel like you're struggling, that you feel like you don't know which direction to go, we're still learning lessons.
Amen.
And I know that my poor wife has had to put up with a lot. And I apologize to her for the hard times that I put her through and for the things that our families had to go through. You know, and I still wasn't sure when I got here today if I was going to preach or not. I know I texted Brother Ron and talked to him about it, and I told him that I knew that I really needed to get in the pulpit. But most of all, I needed to go to a church where I could feel God's love, because I feel like I hadn't felt God's love in a long time. But ever since I've been in here, I have felt God's love. I have felt the love of God's people. And so as we were sitting here in Sunday school lesson, I read, "Are we not often found to be as disciples when God come to us with lessons to learn and issues of which we must take notice? It is not until we submit to His supreme will that we are able to stand still, watch, and wait for the rescue He wishes to bestow upon us."
Amen.
I believe that's Bobby Vanderpool, please. Yeah. Able to stand still and watch. You know, I've stood still for a long time, and I really kind of thought I was watching. But I wasn't really watching. I was just trying to stay vigilant enough that I felt like I was. So as we all know, I'd like to talk about in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. But I guess if I had to title the message today, I would like to title it, The Storms in Our Lives. And God always knew that we would have rocky roads to go down, but He would always be there.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, very familiar reading lessons. And I'm sure it's been many discussions along this too, as far as who ate of the fruit and when the sin began. But reading at verse 3, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Ye hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." You know, I believe God, being all-knowing, knew that that serpent was going to tempt them. And he knew that they was going to do wrong. He knew that they was going to eat of the fruit. I have no doubt that he knew. But yet, he still clothed them.
Yes.
Covered them.
Amen.
He put them out in the garden and made them work. But he gave them a way back.
Right.
He gave them a way back to salvation.
Amen.
Which is the most important thing that can come out of anything in this life that we do. Also would like to take a moment and go to Exodus. And this is Moses here. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your father hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord of God, our of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto this generation. Go and gather the elders of Israel, and say unto them, The Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of Canaanite, and of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and to the Jebusites, and to the land of flowing milk and honey."
Amen.
Now, we all know that he starts to make excuses Moses starts to make excuses as to why he can't go and do these things, even though God has told him that he's there with us.
Yes.
And any of us that's been saved, God has told us he'd be there with us when he saved our soul, did he not? I know he promised me to save me that he'd be there with me, but I forsake him. I find ways to take my feet, take my hands, and to take my mind to places that ought not be. You know, I often think about the crucifixion. I also think about the way that Jesus was treated. You know, he had a crown of thorns put on his head. You know, that crown of thorns was placed down. And I often think about, most of the time, the start of the things that I do wrong start in my mind.
Yes.
And my hands are very quick to get into that. And my feet are the first thing to take me there. So I think that it's a very good reason why those body parts were punished. Because of the things that they carry us to do. God has a plan for each and every one of us.
Amen.
We just got to ask him for the courage sometimes to be able to step out and for him to give us the faith that we need to follow his leadership and his guidance. And as I was studying through this, talking about the, thinking about the storms and the different things that had happened to what I would call good people and men of God, and I went back to Matthew chapter 3, verses 14. I'm going to read 14 through 32. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. I guess let me give you a little background here. Let's see, this was after John the Baptist was beheaded, and they go and to get his body, which his head had been taken away. And when Jesus heard of it, he departs thence into a ship, into a desert place, wherefore the people had heard thereof. They followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and took the two fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And you know, I noticed when I read this, I think it's the first time that I ever really noticed it, but Jesus did not feed anybody himself there. He passed it to the disciples, and the disciples fed the multitude. I don't know how I'd never noticed that before, but I noticed it this morning I was reading. And in verse 20, "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had set up the multitude away, or when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." See, I believe he sent them out in that ship knowing all too well there was going to be a storm. He didn't try to give them directions around the storm. He sent them right through.
Amen.
He knew there was going to be trouble in their life, and he sent them in it. Just like everything else that goes on in our lives, God knows the trouble, the trials, the tribulations that we're going to have throughout this life. But he's not going to direct our path out of it, but he will give us a way out of it.
Amen.
And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. See, he even had to go to them and comfort them. Just as in many ways, he has to come and comfort me. Sometimes it's late at night. Sometimes those comforts that he sends me, I hate to say, but I kind of turn away from them. You know, I wanted to let my anger I had in life to try to keep me away from God. So I would kind of try to put a lot of that stuff on the back burner. And you know, God has a way of getting you to the point to where there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
He'll get you back up the corner where you have to come out. You have to come with Him.
Amen.
And also would like to look at one more account. Maybe one more here. We'll see where the Lord leads us. And in Matthew chapter 8, in verses 23 through 27. And when he was entered into the ship, the disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, or we shall perish. Now, I don't know. I'm quite certain I would have been in the same boat as the disciples. I'd have been worried to death. Here it is. They're sitting there physically with the Savior, but yet they're worried about the storm. They're worried about the things that are going on. But yet, Jesus Himself probably promised to leave the Holy Comforter here for me. He's here with me, He's here with you, just as He was with them. But yet, I choose to sometimes ignore Him. I sometimes refuse to wake Him up. And I try to do it on my own. And I believe with all my heart, if they'd have tried to do it on their own, they may not have made it that night. I'd like to look at one more thing, I believe, in Malachi.
Yes.
And I'll close with this. It's chapter 3, verses 3. Or chapter 3. Behold, I will send messenger, and he shall be prepared in the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to the temple, and the messengers of the covenant, whom delight and shall hold. Let's see, I think I'm on the wrong place. And he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of the coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like the refiner fire, like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and he shall purify the son of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You know, as we go through all these trials and tribulations, you know, God kind of refines us. He takes and gets all those slag off the top. I know Brother Ron can talk about this a whole lot more in depth than I can. But when they go in and they heat these big vats up, aluminum is what I see a lot of. So hard stuff starts setting up on the top. And I'm assuming most of it's waste or just about all of it. And they start scooping it off just to get to what's pure below it. And it's a continual process to pull it off. And that process is what we're continually going through. That process is what is going to take us through our spiritual walk as we go through Jesus throughout this life. So I don't know if there's anybody here that's been having the trouble that I'm having or that's been going through anything similar. But God is here, and God is wanting to try to help you get out of the hard times that you're in. But you have to rely and put all your trust in Him.
Amen.
And I'm going to turn the service over to you, Brother Ron.
Stay up there, everyone come around and hug your neck, shake your hand, tell me how much you love me. And the church hasn't got the message about Peter walking out on the sea and feeding them all that. See, I read all that. That's the text last week. That's everything that you said there today. Today, the Lord laid on my heart a message that says, let me bless you. Let me bless you. And he has. And his blessings today. And what a blessing Brother Andy is. You pray for him that the Lord is placing and using for his glory and for his honor. Let's come right out and shake hands. Come on, Sister Carrie. Come up here too. We love you too. So let's come right out and shake their hand. Shake Brother Terry's hand too. We love you. And everybody describe it.
Thank you.
what else? Brother Kyle Harlock will be here this evening at 6 o'clock to preach for us. We invite everybody to come back with him. Pray for him. He's going to be out there at Mr. Baptist Church. And he'll be here at 6 o'clock. We invite Brother Andy and Sister Carrie back in anytime. Amen. I want to tell you, those are the neighbor love. The doors are always open. Anyone else? And look to the Lord and ask Him to watch over us and keep us safe until the next important time we come back. Thank you again for coming. Thank you, Brother Andy. Appreciate the message very much. Brother Powell, would you pray to the Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody needs to clear out. There you go.